भूतले सेनाते भक्ति दिदंत स्वामी नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी सचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्याद सचारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौरभक्तवृंद Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namaskritya Nang Chaiman Rotamam Devin Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Vadiraja Maka Karoti Vachanam Pangulangaya Tegirin Yat Kita Tavahang Mande Sigurun Hitainam Paramanumanam Sri Chaitanya Ishram.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 15, entitled The Descendants of King Priyavrata, text number 7, which is a long prose verse, so we'll just read the, I'll read the Sanskrit and then we'll move on to the translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Text number 7. Savai Swadharmena Prajapalana Poshana Prinanupalalanu Shasana Lakshanina Dhyadhina Cha Bhagavati Mahapurushe Paravare Brahmani Sarvatmanarpita Paramartha Lakshanina Brahmavich Charananu Sevaya Paditi Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena Chabikshnasa Paribhavitadi Shuddhamatir Uparadhatnatnya Atmani Swayam Upalabhyamyana Brahmanatmanu Bhavo Pinirabhimana Evaninam Ajugupat. Translation. King Gaya gave full protection and security to the citizens. so that their personal property would not be disturbed by undesirable elements. He also saw that there was sufficient food to feed all the citizens. This is called poshana. He would sometimes distribute gifts to the citizens to satisfy him. This is called prinana. He would sometimes call meetings and satisfy the citizens with sweet words. This is called upalalana. He would also give them good instructions on how to become first-class citizens. This is called anushasana. Such were the characteristics of King Gaya's royal order. Besides all this, King Gaya was a householder who strictly observed the rules and regulations of household life. He performed sacrifices and was an unalloyed pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was called Mahapurusha because as a king, he gave the citizens all facilities, and as a householder, he executed all his duties, so that at the end, he became a strict devotee of the Supreme Lord. As a devotee, he was always ready to give respect to other devotees and to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. This is the Bhakti Yoga process. Due to all these transcendental activities, King Gaya was always free from the bodily conception. He was full in Brahman realization, and consequently he was always jubilant. He did not experience material lamentation. Although he was perfect in all respects, he was not proud, nor was he anxious to rule the kingdom. Purport. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, when he descends on earth, he has two types of business: to give protection to the faithful and annihilate the demons. Paritranaya saranam vinashaya cha duskritam. Since the king is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is sometimes called Naradeva. That is, the Lord as a human being. According to the Vedic injunctions, he is worshipped as God on the material platform. As a representative of the Supreme Lord, the king had the duty to protect the citizens in a perfect way so that they would not be anxious for food and protection, and so that they would be jubilant. The king would supply everything for their benefit, and because of this, he would levy taxes. If the king or government otherwise levies taxes on the citizens, he becomes responsible for the sinful activities of the citizens. In Kali Yuga, monarchy is abolished because the kings themselves are subjected to the influence of Kali Yuga. It is understood from the Ramayana that when Bibhishan became friends with Lord Ramchandra, he promised that if by chance or will he broke the laws of friendship with Lord Ramchandra, he would become a brahmana or a king in Kali Yuga. In this age, as Bibhishan indicated, both brahmanas and kings are in a wretched condition. Actually, there are no kings or brahmanas in this age, and due to their absence in the whole world is in a chaotic condition and is always in distress. Compared to present standards, Maharaj Gaya was a true representative of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, he was known as Mahapurusha. Translation again. King Gaya gave full protection and security to the citizens so that their personal property would not be disturbed by undesirable elements. He also saw that there was sufficient food to feed all the citizens. This is called poshana. He would sometimes distribute gifts to the citizens to satisfy them. This is called prinana. He would sometimes call meetings and satisfy his citizens with sweet words. This is called upalalana. He would also give them good instructions on how to become first-class citizens. This is called anushasana. Such were the characteristics of King Gaya's royal order. Besides all this, King Gaya was a householder who strictly observed the rules and regulations of household life. He performed sacrifices and was an unalloyed pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was called Mahapurusha because as a king he gave the citizens all facilities, and as a householder he executed all his duties so that at the end he became a strict devotee of the Supreme Lord. As a devotee, he was always ready to give respect to other devotees and to engage in devotional service of the Lord. This is the Bhakti Yoga process. Due to all these transcendental activities, King Gaya was always free from the bodily conception. He was full in Brahman realization, and consequently he was always jubilant. He did not experience material lamentation. Although he was perfect in all respects, he was not proud, nor was he anxious to rule the kingdom. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
There were four things you said that he did, and then you said the Sanskrit word for that. But I couldn't hear the Sanskrit word.
He also saw that there was sufficient food to feed all the citizens. This is called poshana.
Poshana, okay.
Distributed gifts to the citizens to satisfy them. This is called prinana.
Oh, is that called?
Prinana.
Prinana.
Prinana. Prinana. P-R-I-N-A-N-A. Prinana.
Prinana, okay.
He would sometimes call meetings and satisfy the citizens with sweet words. Upalalana.
Upalalana.
Upalalana. And we'd also give them instructions on how to become first class citizens. This is called Anushasana.
Thank you. So this is the king of Gaya. Or the king Gaya. His name was Gaya, or he was king of Gaya?
King Gaya.
So, a lot of the instructions in this verse about how the kings who were in the Vedic times, we could appreciate. Now, although today we have democracy, in most parts of the world, and only the descendants of a royal family, they don't have. Usually don't have much power. We can appreciate that with a qualified king like this, King Gaya, things were quite well managed. And you know, why it doesn't work in Kali Yuga, that's also understandable. But why it worked previously, at least we could appreciate. Monarchy was not a bad thing, it was a good thing, it worked. Because there was a qualified king who was God-realized, he was self-realized, he followed the rules, and he managed his kingdom with a great affection. And you see that in some places of the world, like in Thailand, the people love their monarch, although he's not the best of democracy and prime minister, but sometimes he has to step in and take some action. And somehow, he's really appreciated by the citizens. I don't know. Just offhand, I haven't visited like Brunei or other places, so I don't know what they're like. But There I saw that the people liked him to a large extent, because they saw him as a neutral person who cared about the citizens. And although he was not directly involved in the affairs of the kingdom, I mean, he was not like, he didn't manage them, but the management was done by the prime ministers. But he'd go and he'd see the citizens, he'd see the farming, he'd get some idea, but nobody qualified like Gaia. But it's interesting, I heard this verse before that Vidishana said. What I heard was that he said, if I don't follow, I'll be a Brahmana in Kali Yuga. But here it said, a Brahmana or a king. I said, wow, that's so heavy. Okay, he's going to follow. Anyone who said like that, that's a real serious thing. So that means that at that time, it was Treta Yuga. They knew that the Kali Yuga, the Brahmanas, the kings, they were not, they are respected, or they are worthy of respect. So that was taken as such a serious vow. He said, let me be cursed to be a Brahmana, Kali Yuga. Oh, okay. So he takes him serious. And that was like the worst thing you can think of. So it was interesting. And that convinced Lakshman was, he was doubting Vidishana. Maybe he was thrived on Ravana. But when he took this vow, he's all right. No one will take such a vow unless they really mean it. So that shows us how lousy it is to be born a Brahmana or a king in Kali Yuga. So, interesting. How he managed the kingdom, how he was personally a Krishna conscious, and he was self-realized, he followed the rules. We don't have examples like that, whether the Thai king or anyone, we don't have like such examples as he was, that we can go on. It was, we know that the kings attend to have illicit affairs, and they would do all kinds of sinful things. So, but he was glorified as Mahapurusha, as a great soul amongst the kings, a great self-realized personality. And the way he managed the kingdom was also very exemplary. You know, so, like Lord Chaitanya, he said, well, I can meet anyone, but I don't want to meet a king. Because a king in Kali Yuga, they are sense gratifiers, and I'm a sannyasi, so I don't want to meet the Pratap Rudra. So Pratap Rudra, he was feeling, everyone in the kingdom can meet with Lord Chaitanya, except me. I am the only one. And that's the only thing I want, is I want to be able to see Lord Chaitanya. So he was feeling so bad. He said, what is the use of living? If I'm living, I'm the only one that cannot see Lord Chaitanya. Oh! So he was thinking even of suicide. So Ravana Rai came to him, to Lord Chaitanya, and said, you see, this king is actually a devotee. He's a good guy. And so somehow shown some mercy. So he called his prince, his son, and he gave him a charter and some stuff. So like this, the king was a little encouraged. There's hope. Don't commit suicide. So when the king came, and they have this tradition in Jagannath Puri that the king would sweep the road before the Jagannath Didi. What do they call that? I forget what they call it. It's a I hear someone speaking. I hear what they said. So, Lord Chaitanya saw him. Now, normally, like we had the Lord Mayor of Birmingham to see the road. So he had his coat of arms. He had a big sash. He had a golden medal. He was the number one citizen of the city. The Lord Mayor. I don't think in America, in India, they don't. Mayor, okay, you know. There's Lord Mayor. So he had all the trouble. He said, normally I don't have to sweep the road. I got public servants to do this. But out of respect for your tradition, I'll do it. So he swept the road. And in fact, one time he sent one counselor to represent him, and or the deputy mayor. So he liked so much, he swept the road the whole way. Like 40, 50 minutes. It was interesting. I mean, normally the king would just sweep for a few minutes. So when Lord Chaitanya saw the king sweeping, because he was doing a service, a humble service for the Lord, so he was very moved. So by service to Jagannath, you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That was the purport. So Lord Chaitanya, and then he gave a divine vision to the king. So the king could see seven Lord Chaitanyas in the seven Sankirtan parties from his rooftop. So there the king had the tradition that they don't make their palace higher than the Jagannath temple. That's pretty hard because the Jagannath temple is pretty high, but in any case, that's the rule. So he would His house looks like his palace in Puri. Looks like any other house. I mean, it's not higher. It's like two stories high. But everyone knows this is the king's house. So he would, 500 years ago, he'd look from the roof of his house and he would see the rocket go by. So he saw Lord Chaitanya and he told Sarvamacharya and others, how come I'm seeing seven Lord Chaitanyas? So they said, you got the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That's why you're seeing the seven. So, like this, he had certain mercies. So he was told by Ramananda Rai that he should go in a ordinary dress, like a Vaishnava, a tilak and chadar and no shirt. And so no one knew what the king looked like without his big turban and his royal dress. So only a few people knew him, like close up. So the judge didn't recognize who was this Vaishnava. He came and Lord Chaitanya was taking a rest. In the kirtan there was a rest. The Didi was offered bhoga at a vipra asana. Vipassana. So there the system is that people lay out some clean cloth and lay their dloga, and the Vajrayana offers hundreds of dlogas, maybe thousands, to the deity at one time. It's interesting that we could do it during our Rath Yatra, is at least the devotees who are following, they can offer their food to the deity at the place where they arrive or something. So at this time, Lord Chaitanya, he lay down and he was taking rest on one stone slab. I saw the king dressed as a ordinary Vaishnava. He asked the permission of all the devotees, can I rub his lotus legs? And they said, sure, why not? So he started rubbing the legs of Lord Chaitanya, he was massaging. And he started singing the verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had memorized the verses of the Gopi Gita, the songs of the Gopis. At one point, Lord Chaitanya was so pleased to hear these verses. One particular verse, he was very pleased. He said, you have given me these jewels of the verses. So I want to pay you, but I have nothing. I'm just a sannyasi. I have nothing to give you. All I can give you is my embrace, my hug. So he hugged the king. So you can imagine the king being hugged by Lord Chaitanya. It was like, he said, I don't know who you are. He said, I don't know who you are, but I don't have nothing I can give you. I'll just give you a hug. So he hugged him. The king goes, and Lord Chaitanya lied down again. So he got all his desires fulfilled because he did seva for Jagannath. So we want to promote that people should do the seva for the deities. They should do the seva. By doing the seva, they'll get their mercy. This is the secret. How to get mercy? You get mercy by doing seva. Even his great king, the Andras, had said he would go to the temple, he would clean the temple, he would mop it, he would sweep it. Now, being a king, he didn't have to do that ordinary service, but he did it because he wants to get the mercy of the Lord. It says in the Brahma Samhita that the goddesses of fortune, they would sweep the touchstones to get the mercy of the Lord. And there's not much dust, I think, in the spiritual world on touchstones. But just to show the Lord, we're cleaning. We want your mercy. So like that, they're doing a very humble service. So if we want to get the mercy, what should we do? Yeah, so that's the secret. So this King Yao, it showed how he very exemplary way he managed his kingdom. That he was a grihastha. Of course, kings have to be grihasthas. That's part of the example of a king. He is supposed to be a grihastha, and he is supposed to be very exemplary. So, it said he did this with his wife. He did various sacrifices for the pleasure of Vishnu. So, as a grihastha, they're considered half, and the wife is considered the other half. In fact, she called the Ardangani, or the better half. I never had a husband publicly say that this wasn't true. They always say, wife is the better half. Anyone want to deny it? So, this is the system. And there was Lord Rama. Now, he's also a Grihastha. So, he was doing a yoga. And Sadhiti wasn't showing up in the time. And so he said, what should I do without my wife? I can't finish the yoga. And so they said, well, we'll get you another wife. And I'm not seeing any other way. So he accepted that solution. So they passed one maiden through a cow. I don't know how they did it, but somehow, so that's why the cow is also known as Gaya. So she's known as Gayatri. So then she was married to Rama real quick, and he could do the finish yoga. And then Savitri came, and she saw, what's this? Another wife has replaced me. So she cursed Rama. You'll only worship in this one place of Puskar, where your deity is from. The rest of the planet, you will not be worshipped. So, they tell this story at Puskar Tirtha, that the one lotus was thrown from the Satyaloka and fell down to earth in Puskar, and that's where he can have his temple. Of course, a few other places, I guess they don't know, they make the deity of Rama in Thailand and Malaysia, but technically you're not supposed to. I guess, I don't know what happens to them if they do. But as just to show that as a grihastha, to do the yogas, you need the cooperation of your both halves. And so we can understand Gaya, King Gaya, he did all these things very much according to the rules and regulations. Lord Chaitanya, when he was in my pundit, he thought, I'm earning money and I'm maintaining my mother. I'm living in a house, so I should be a householder. I should, I have everything, but I don't have a wife. So then he got married because he thought that, and that's kind of the standard, that if someone's working, if they are not living in the Brahmachari ashram, they should get married. Otherwise, they're living like a grihastha. They have their own flat, their own apartment, their own house. They have their money, but they don't have a wife. So it's not following the dharma properly. If one is a brahmachari, they live in the ashram, they don't make any personal money, they work for the temple. That's one way of life. The other life is working as a grihastha or a vanaprastha. So there are some people, they work outside, they make money, but they don't live as grihastas. So this is not the proper example. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, then he didn't depend on, depended on Krishna totally. He didn't do the grihastha dharma. When he was a grihastha, he followed very strictly the Grihastha-dharma. So this king, he followed very strictly the Grihastha-dharma. While he was a king, he followed the kingly dharma. At the same time, he was detached and he was actually a devotee. So he was a self-realized soul. This is the example. So we don't have examples like that much, at least kings to go by. So we see the example given in the Shastra. So this gives us some idea that how things happen in the past. So we can appreciate. It's very hard to follow Lord Chaitanya's example of sannyas. When he was a sannyasi, he was very austere. When he was a grihastha, he was very pakka in his grihastha dharma. So it's hard to follow such an example. But he was exemplary. So we can get some inspiration in here is King Gaya in the place known as Gaya. There's actually the Gaya Asur. He was a demon. So he's a different person. He fought against Vishnu, and Vishnu defeated him and stepped on his chest. So he said, the guy said, I surrender, but I want two blessings. One is that I want your footprint to be worshipped. If it's not worshipped every day, then I'll come back. So, the second blessing here said that people should do their ancestor worship, and songs should come every day. One is he to be worshipped, the footprint on, and the other was that every day that they worship. If one day goes by or nobody comes to do their ancestor worship, then he can come back. So, there's a big hill, and this is known as the Vishnu Gaya. And there's a lotus footprint of Vishnu. So, they say that that hill, which is yugas and yugas old, is actually the Gaya Asura. And if one day goes by and nobody comes there to do pindi, he'll rise up, rah! And there he will harass everybody again. So, when I went there, and there's a lot of Gayas. There's a Vishnu Gaya, there's a Lord Gaya, there's 11 different Gayas. Well, in this Vishnu Gaya, they had a book, and they had Prabhupada's name. That 11 in 1971, Prabhupada had gone there with a group of people. So they had all the names of the devotees in Prabhupada's party. So I was one of the devotees in the party. So I was, wow. They had everybody's name, they got Prabhupada's name. The pandas were very expert. So they present the silver a footprint of Lord Vishnu. So, since they gave me a silver footprint, I felt indebted, so I gave them a by rupee standard, a fairly big donation. But they keep the record. I don't know if we keep the record of all the people who visit, but they have a record of everybody who visits their temple every day. So they had a record of Prabhupada's visit. At least they had the Prabhupada's record. I didn't check their book. Who else's record they had? Shri Prabhupada ki. I don't know what the history is, why they... I knew this history of Gaya Asura, but why they have 11 Gayas, if it's named after this King Gaya or not, I don't know. Of course, Buddha Gaya is where the Lord Buddha, he meditated, and there he realized his realizations near Nirvana. So the other 9 of Gayas, I don't know what they are exactly. I didn't look into it. It may just be a coincidence that the same name as this King Gaya, or maybe they follow some tradition, I don't know. But they say that Sita Devi was very angry with the river there. So she cursed the river that it'll be dry. But under the surface of the sand, your water will flow. So, you know what the people in India, what they do to the rivers when they're dry? If you don't know, you don't want to know. But they answer their nature's call. So everybody, since time since the Treta Yuga, they're passing on top of that river. You dig in the sand, you'll like a foot or two deep, enough water. So people go there and dig the water and use that to worship Vishnu. But the non-devotees, they make their mess on top of the riverbed. So that's called the Phalgu River. So that's why Lord Chaitanya said, we should not be a Phalgu Vairagi. Phalgu Vairagi means that it looks very dry on the surface. It looks like someone's very renounced. But you dig a little under the sand, you find water. So someone looks like he's renounced, but he actually has so many material desires. So that's where the Phalgu Vairagya comes from, the Phalgu River, where under the surface is enough water, but on the surface is dry. So I'm told I should end at 8:20 because everyone should take their prasad, head out to Laguna Beach for the regional festival. Hello. So I know if there's any comment from our beloved Svavas, Vathi, other prophet disciples, Archita.
Thank you very much. We have to be a little careful with the Sanskrit pronunciation. This is when we run into trouble. The word G-A-Y-A, in Sanskrit, you can have G long A, Y short A. You can have G short A, Y short A, or you can have G short A, Y long A. So the place where we go to offer the oblations to Pinda is Gaya with a long A. This king is Gaya, G-A-Y-A, no long, G short A, Y short A, King Gaya. And then there's Uttama Gaya, which is the name of the Lord. G long A, Y short A. So the place where we go to offer to the forefather is Gaya. And this king is Gaya. There's really no connection.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So this is King Gaya. Gaya. And the place is Gaya. Any other comment? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.